Should you ever set foot outside of the motel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and it's the listener mailbag episode and a little extra. So let's bring in the team from my top left. Let's start with Mark Immelman. Hey, Mark, how's it going?
Good, Rick. I'm envious of your hat. All's good here in Georgia. We are open for business. And yes, I saw the best sign today. It goes, "We're open, y'all." And that was just, it was so perfectly Georgia. I was like, yeah, let's get busy.
Golf is
happening. Weather's nice and everything's good down here.
That is very on brand. Let's go over to Greg Ducharme. Hey, Greg.
Hey, we are still not open. much of the same. So definitely a little envious of Mark there. Also, Mark, loving the background. That's looking good up there. Everybody's looking good. I'm excited.
Yeah, I don't know how long it's been. Maybe a week since we all got together. But let's bring in the final member of the team here. KP, Kyle Porter, how's it going?
I'm good. I think that's our thing, Mark. I don't think that's your thing.
Georgia happened before Texas, boss. Georgia was one of the original 13 states of the Union. You can stop right there. I passed my citizenship test, bro. Bro. Okay.
Was it really? Was it really one of the first 13?
It was. Can't be, right? I thought like
no.
Was the
Google.
Most
come on, all right. Go check the Google.
That yeah, get Jacob, get producer Jacob will look that up. There is. Did you read that?
I believe it was
first 13 colonies. Are we talking about?
I think it was. Yeah,
yeah, it was.
As someone who hails from the neighboring state of South Carolina, I believe we learned original 13 colony as well.
Yeah,
I think I can do no better.
Yeah, I would have lost a lot of money on that.
I always wonder this. Like, I think I'm pretty good with some of the stuff, obviously outside the 13 colonies. But like, could we pass the citizenship test in like our like how many American citizens could even pass that test?
Very
like,
hard. Mark, could the three of us pass that test
together?
Well, yes. Some of the questions I got. He asked who were my two state senators.
Wow.
And then he asked who was the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. You know who that
sure.
is?
Roberts.
Tiger?
John Roberts.
Tiger Woods.
Jordan Spieth. Jordan Spieth. yeah, no, it's difficult. You have to study for it.
Wow.
That's maybe we could play a scramble and get it.
Yeah. Yeah, pair us up. All right,
so
gentlemen.
So back to the thing at hand.
Yeah.
I will contend that the y'all belongs to Georgia. Thank you.
And he's
or South
got
Carolina.
Us. And it was one of the original 13 colonies, Kyle, so I think we're beat there. Checkmate.
We kind of are.
all right, gentlemen, let's start with this before we jump into the mailbag, because we have wild speculation about some potential golf that might be coming down the pike here. Now, rumors swirling about a possible skins game with Ricky Fowler and Matt Wolf versus Rory McIlroy and Dustin Johnson. Greg, initial reaction to hearing this is a possible game that we might be seeing soon.
Number of things to get into here. One, who chose the teams? Two, it'll be interesting to see if this happens and these are the teams and this is the format, who actually went. It's different. The guys you would expect to do really well don't. And the difference between Matthew Wolf in a format like this may not be as noticeable as it is in a 72-hole tournament with pride, prestige, and dollars on the line. So I'll be interested to see. I don't understand. I don't get the teams. The teams are the thing that my first thought is, how did this happen? How did this come together? And my second, a team skins game, I think is an interesting form. And I'm first reaction, I'm not a big fan. I think it's a little bit strange, to be honest. But at this point, man, I'll watch anything.
It sounds like a tailor-made marketing executive shows the teams, correct?
Yeah, so, well, there's an Oklahoma State connection there for you. I mean, in the one combination.
Yeah, there's a shared...
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Also a shared agency. They have the same agent, I believe, Matt Wolf and Ricky Fowler. I don't know... I mean, obviously, Rory and DJ do not. So, yeah, it had to be a tailor-made thing. I'm curious about, for one of you guys, maybe Rick, just what the line on something like this would be. And the skins thing probably throws it off. But whatever it is, I'm taking not the favored team.
I mean, Rory and DJ are probably clearly the favorite here. Rory, by far the number one player in the world. DJ always seems to be on the cusp of it, even though maybe the last 6 months of his... last 6 months haven't been great, but they're probably what, minus 250, which means they win it like 65 or 70% of the time, Kyle, something like that.
I would take the OSU squad. Big shocker there.
Yeah. You dressed in orange and black. Go on. I have one question here. Who is the best couples, the team I'm going to be off?
Best couple?
Combination, team, duo, whatever.
So it'd be, I mean, you could go Rory and Mark Immelman, and it would be the best.
That's probably true.
I'd be a couple with him.
The thing that the Fowler Wolf side have going for them, though, is they own sets. So Wolf, elite off the tee, if you want to talk in terms of strokes gained. I mean, Rory and DJ kind of do everything pretty well, but like thing like this, because they could. You know, if Ricky's putter gets hot for 8 or 9 holes, they could do some damage here.
Well, go ahead, Kyle. Sorry.
My least favorite, by the way, you just reminded me of this, Rick. My least favorite PGA Tour narrative is DJ not being able to putt. He's a really good putter.
Yeah.
Last year he was 74th in putting. The year before that, he was 20th on the PGA Tour. Year before that, he was top 100. He's turned himself into, year before that, he was top 40. If you're DJ and you're a top 40 putter, you're going to win freaking. And I've been really impressed with the specific ways in which he's improved his game. This is not, we don't need to be talking about DJ, but he's a good putter.
That's the one thing I know for certain about the PGA Tour. If you're on the tour, you're good at your craft. Now, in comparison to metric thing, you come across as a poor putter, but there isn't a poor putter. To me,
I'm not comparing them to me. I'm comparing them to.
Yes, the thing. That's the one thing Dustin Johnson does do well when he's in contention. He makes putts. You know, they are. And then when the heat gets ratcheted up, then they don't putt as well. And the metrics can be a little in contention. He makes the putts that mean something, as far as I'm concerned.
There was an alleged story that we were going to get from Mark Brody, a strokes gain metric that had to do with just what you were mentioning there, Mark. And this was, it must have been last year where it kind of came out. I think it's in the works. And I think at some point we're going to have a metric where it's not necessarily strokes gained under pressure, but something comparable to that. And I think that would be really enlightening. You look at a player like Ricky Fowler, and I'm not saying this happens every time, but there are a lot of times where under the heat of the moment in some of these bigger tournaments, that putter goes cold at the wrong time. So we've seen it happen with Rory. It happens with everybody, but I think it'd be interesting to see a statistic like that. And it would give you a much better indication of who really is a good putter when the chips are down on the table.
Okay. Let's lobby for a name for this category. We'll call it Strokes Lost Sphincter Tightening.
That's definitely the leader in the clubhouse. That's right. Okay. We'll use that for sure. I go with strokes gained clutch as opposed to what is it?
Like
strokes lost sphincter tightening. A little bit of a mouthful, I think. That's actually pretty interesting. So okay, so how would we define this? Okay, so Greg, if you're let's dive deeper. Is this what putts inside, like a putt you should make on a Sunday? So what, like inside 8 feet when you're within X number of the lead? Like how are we defining this?
Look, this is something if I knew the answer to, I'd probably make a lot more money, and I'd probably only be a frequent guest here because I like you guys every once in a while.
Hey,
this is not my job. What I like to do.
he's trying to get out of here.
No, I'm not trying to get out of here. I'm just saying, if I was Mark Brody, I'd be I'd be busy in the numbers here. And he's a guy that comes up with these kind of things. So my job is to look at the numbers and the ranks between players and call someone like Dustin Johnson not that great of a putter, even though he's 25th on the PGA Tour or 47th on the PGA Tour. My job is to call that a weakness. And for a Mark Brody, I just think when we have something that goes a little bit deeper into this, and yeah, it's back nine on Sunday with putts inside of 10 feet. It's probably calculated the same way. It just puts a time element to it. A putt from 8 feet on Friday afternoon when you're trying to make the cut is not the same putt as it is on Thursday morning when you're just getting your round going. That same putt on Sunday is a completely different putt as far as difficulty than it is on Saturday. And there are some players that excel in those moments and there are some that don't. So I would love to see that kind of in a statistic. Rick, I think you would be a little bit better suited to come up with how that would work than me.
Well, I think you could use whatever a player's baseline putting stats are and then just divvy it up by day. The problem is, I don't know that you could get to – the reason strokes gained putting works is because there's so many rounds. Because if you look at one round, it's nonsense. It doesn't mean anything. So I don't know that you can necessarily – somebody like, I don't know, Tiger, who doesn't play – very often, if you could get to enough rounds on a Thursday or on a Saturday or whatever to measure against your baseline putting for a season. But that, to me, that would be, I think that would be really interesting. Cause what, I mean, we go to scoring average on different days, right? Like if you look at Ricky Fowler's scoring average a couple of years ago, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, great, Sunday, awful. And so you're like, well, what's going on there? Last year, Spieth, great Thursday, Friday, horrendous on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah. We've seen it with Rory too.
So I think if you were able to do that with putting, I think that would be super interesting.
That'll give me a project over the next couple of weeks before golf comes back. let's put a bow on this. So the proposed speculated date that we have is May 17th. So we're a couple weeks out in Florida. Mark, Admiral's Cove in Jupiter. I don't know anything about this track. I'm not sure if you do, but this seems to be probably a lot around the proximity of where these guys probably are stationed right now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. To be truthful, I don't know anything about Admiral's Cove, but they've got some fantastic golf courses down there.
Sure.
And they're all in a very narrow tract of land. And the one thing about those courses, they typically run like in opposite directions to each other because of the narrow area of land between the highways and the coastline. So you get some wicked crosswinds over there. You get the wind off the sea out of the east, and then if some weather rolls in, it comes out the west. So typically, and this gets to one of the questions we'll have later, you've got to hit the ball flush to play well at these golf courses down there, because if you're hitting something weak up against those crosswinds, you'll get eaten up. So I'm sure it's a great golf course. I'm sure it's sort of friendly for a format like this, allow birdies and such. So I'm sure it'll be great entertainment.
That was a great segue because we will get to those questions and we will get to them on the other side, because right now we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
And we're back, gentlemen. We are going out to the mailbox. We're opening it up. We're seeing what's in there. We've got some questions that have come in from Twitter, from iTunes, from all over the place. And we're going to go through them. Now, this first one here, I've got to understand this one. This one comes from Bracketologist 3 on iTunes. And I believe it says, if the First Cut podcast did a 72-hole event, who would win? Now, Bracketologist, he mentions a couple of obvious names. Greg is an obvious name. Mark is an obvious name. And Bracketologist thinks that Producer Jacob could be a dark horse. Now, I will tell you, do not take offense to this, Producer Jacob, but I've seen Producer Jacob play. I don't think he's necessarily a dark horse in this. Greg, are you the favorite to win a 72-hole golf match between us?
Well, if we're playing it now, I'll give you some realistic analysis. If we're playing it right now and it goes anything like the rounds I've been playing in my head, then yeah, I'm the favorite. I could probably replace Matthew Wolf in that match and win. I have a funny feeling when I get an actual club in my hand, I might get a different result. So I'm a little rusty. I got to shake it off, but you know, the imagination's working. I'm playing great in my mind. So yeah, I'll say I'm the favorite.
Mark, do you have anything to say to Greg being the favorite in this event?
I'm good with that because all I do is play in my mind. I think I played four rounds of golf last year, maybe five. I've played two this year, so I'm ahead of the curve. So I'm likely run. So I wouldn't be backing me very much.
Okay.
Although I can make putts and wedge when I need to. So that's a plus in my column.
That's a good skill to have. I'm going to bring in Producer Jacob here. Producer Jacob, do you want to just let everyone know that you are not a dark horse in this event?
I have an app that tracks some of my statistics. I'm looking now, and it's granted it's been a while since I played, but my 21% greens in regulation,
yeah,
88.4 scoring average. I don't think I'm beating Greg.
No, I mean, I've seen
this guy on the swing simulator going at 17 at Sawgrass. I mean, I can't compete with that.
Oh man. Well, that's only one swing with a
pitching. You and I can battle for last place. And Kyle, actually, bracketologist, little shots fired on this.
Multiple levels.
Yeah, he thought he made this very vivid. You know, he thinks you can go out and play well the first 2 days, and then in a very Jordan Spieth-esque fashion, his words, not mine, you shank one OB on the first hole of day three, and it's all downhill from there. I'm just gonna let you defend yourself on this one.
I don't know that I can, to be honest.
too accurate.
I haven't played in like 7 months. Jordan Spieth's ranked 203 on the PGA Tour in strokes gained off the tee. So he probably is – it's probably not an inaccurate statement to kind of lay out what this guy laid out, or this woman, whoever it is. But it might be a Birkdale situation where I'm over by the equipment trucks and I'm just hollering at my caddy. I don't know why I would have a caddy, but I'm just hollering at my caddy to give me a round number and get out of the way. And I will confess, I have some real mental issues whenever I start playing well. Because I'll go out, and I did this at so we played Oakmont the day after the 16 US Open, the day after DJ won. And we go out to play and we're like, okay, let's play from the Sunday tees, from the tees that they played from. And the guy that's the pro there is like, I don't know, it seems like a bad idea, whatever. And I mean, he didn't say that. His face said that. And so we get out there, and I just murder my first drive, just right up the right side of the fairway. I have a birdie putt on the first hole at Oakmont, and I end up making par. I'm like, I'm probably gonna shoot like 74 from the tips at Oakmont the day after the U.S. Open. I think I shot 74 on the first 11 holes, and so yeah, once I start playing well, it goes badly from there.
I might have to get you a sport psychologist in there, so yeah, that you start playing well, you keep the pedal down. We'll find one for you. All right, next up, this one's specifically for you, Mark, and it is very direct, and it is from friend of the pod, Will Haskett, and he needs to know when you're going to make the transition from trick shots, which we saw and are very impressed, to mockumentary production. I don't know. You got inquiring minds must know, Mark.
I just do what I'm told, okay? Mockumentary, I didn't know there was such a thing. Maybe I'll find that on the YouTube.
Yeah,
I'll figure out how to do one of those. I'm not an expert at mockumentaries, but I have seen he's putting out some pretty entertaining stuff there on his social media feed. But he's always been better than that at that sort of stuff than I have. So I'll leave the mockumentaries to Will.
Speaking of trick shots, Mark, I saw you swing two clubs in two different directions, get four balls in the air. You can tell us now how many takes it was that?
Seriously, that was the first go.
No.
Well, I had a practice day the day before, right? So when you've got these clubs and you swing them in opposite directions, you got to get the distance between your arms correct. And the first few times I beat two wedges against each other, it sounded like a cannon shot going off. And then I've actually got a take where on the practice day where I missed the first one, I topped the second one, the third one shot off the toe of the club. And my daughter at the time, Isabel, who was videoing this thing, just dove out of the way. So it was disastrous for a while. So the practice day went badly, but thankfully on the first go, we got this right.
I love it. Well, at least you didn't put one through your window pane like I think I saw Thomas Bjorn do this morning.
Yeah,
did you catch that?
That was tough.
Not great. Trying to hit one from inside his little, little dining room outside and goes right through the window pane. All right. How about this one? This is pretty cool. Russell in NC. This is from Twitter. Greg, we'll start with you. Name the PGA Tour player that you would most want to caddy for, and here's the real kicker, the PGA Tour player you'd least like to caddy for.
Okay. So I'll start with player I'd least like to caddy for. And again, this is much like the putting conversation. These are PGA Tour players. They're so fun to watch. I'd love to caddy for any of them for one round. But I'd like to keep that round during one day. So JB Holmes would be the guy that I would least like to caddy for.
Oh, shots fired. I love this. This is so good. I thought you were going to be like, oh, they're all great. You know, I don't know who the least person. You're just like JB Holmes. Yeah, he's my
least. And again, I mean, this is the worst of the best. So it's not the worst place to be in there.
JB Holmes will not be making an appearance on the new breed of golf anytime soon. I think
you've burned that bridge now.
Yeah, I think that's toasted. So anyway, player I'd most want a caddy for comes from kind of a new breed of golf situation. We had the other day, we did this really cool thing, and you'll get a chance to see it on Tuesday at 7 on CBS Sports Network. It's called a Course Record Special. And Michael Breed, Webb Simpson, and Paul Tesori have a round table. And they discuss the relationship that Webb and Paul Tesori have and a number of the successes that they've had together as a group. And what I got from that interview and that discussion was just the relationship those guys have, but also the kind of guy that Webb Simpson is, the kind of guy, the way that he treats his caddy. He gets Paul involved in the moment, but he doesn't hold it against him if he makes a mistake. And they have this beautiful relationship. And I'm such a big fan of Webb. I think he's such a cool guy. And if Paul was ever out sick for a round, I would gladly fill in for Webb Simpson. And again, it's not Tiger for me because I think that's just too much pressure. I just couldn't handle that.
Yeah. I'm also thinking like I want the guy who's like the least prepared. I don't want to have to carry around like three rain suits and sandwiches and like these bags like are heavy enough. Uh-huh. I'm not a big guy. I got to walk around this. Like I want the least prepared guy. Some kid just out of college probably was still with a stand bag. Let me get on that one.
Yeah, Ricky rocks the stand bag a bunch.
There you go. That'll work. All right. How about this one, Kyle? There is, for my least, I'm just going to do this by what I know off social media, which if you see it on social media, it must be true. There is only one caddy who routinely gets a hashtag trending for him, and it's hashtag pray for Ted Scott. And I think then I have to say, okay, the evidence might be leaning towards me not wanting to be on Bubba's bag. What do you think?
Yeah, that's a good one.
The Ted problem, makes a lot of money.
That's Boy, what I was going to say. The problem is there's probably worse ones that you could choose that make a lot less money. And so at least with that, you have a good, steady, pretty substantial income, you know? I was thinking, so my most is, so I need a combination of biggest earner with also the least maintenance. Like, I don't want to do a lot. I just want to carry
the bag. You're thinking like
me. I mean, I don't need to be, I mean, I've already told you guys.
You don't want to work, but you want to make all the money. This is like the American dream.
Yeah. So I'd be Harry Diamond.
Oh, there you go.
Harry Diamond made like more money than Jordan Spieth did last year, I think.
Oh.
For caddying for Rory. I think he did. It was close. It was a lot, depending on how you break it down.
Yeah.
Not that he doesn't, I'm not saying he doesn't do anything, but I want a guy like Rory or even somebody like DJ who just, they just own all their stuff. They're not like Spieth honestly would be hard because he's always hollering and not, I don't mean that in a bad way, but he's just always talking and needing stuff and just,
you have to keep the wet towel nearby and the dry towel nearby. So when he backs off, he can wipe his hand a little bit. You got to be constantly there. That is a tough gig.
I would be exhausted
if I had to
caddy for him. So I need somebody who makes a lot of money and just completely owns every part of their game. I think least like or the one I would least want to caddy for is probably Bryson. Too much math. I do not need that. I do enough like homeschooling the kids right now. You know, 4+7. I don't need the wind density and all that garbage.
Atmospheric pressure.
Yeah, that's too much. I'm not going to carry a water spritzer for your golf.
All right, Mark. Who are your least? Who would you most like to caddy for, and who would you least like to caddy for?
I was thinking along Kyle's lines. You know, I'm trying to do as little as possible and make as much money as I can. And Harry Diamond's job is a good call. I mean, when Rory got to number one, he and Harry went out for a fancy dinner with all the nice wine and stuff. And like, that's right up my alley. So I'll get to my, who I'd like to work for a second. But first, I thought of the guys that are just difficult, you know, to deal with. But then I also thought, I want to make money if I'm caddying. I've caddied before and it's a difficult job. And the big deal is to have a guy that plays on the weekend and have a guy that plays a lot. And so with that, Bryson's going to play on the weekend a lot, but there's a bunch of calculation and a bunch of work, and you have to own these decisions. And if something goes wrong, you're going to hear from him about it. So there's high pressure there. But then I moved over to Louis Oosthuizen, who has a rotation of two caddies on the bag, and he doesn't play that often. So that means you get limited runs. Now, I love Louis. He's a beautiful golfer whenever he plays, he's in contention, but it would wind me up if the other dude was on the bag and Louis got himself a top three or something like that. So I'm going to have to say Louis, who I wouldn't want to work for. And then guys I would want to work for, I'm wanting to rake as few bunkers as possible, go and walk into galleries and move fans as little as possible, because that's a mission. And so I looked at some ball striking numbers. So I'm right now between Jim Furyk and Colin Morikawa. Okay. And I think I'm going to go with Morikawa because he makes all the cuts he plays in. He's always in contention and he's very accurate. So I'm going to go with Morikawa. And that's going to be a long time.
And you could be his dad.
I could. You're right. I'm old enough.
For the pod, Colin Morikawa.
Producer Jacob wants to know what's the minimum amount of money I would take, or any of us would take, to be Bryson's spritzer guy at the 3M Open. I mean,
there's a price for everything.
I don't think I'm presuming my travel is paid for. Maybe Twitch is sponsoring me. I don't know. I would have to say like, I don't know, $2,000, $2,500. I'm not going to be out there spraying your Bridgestones for like $800 for a week.
$2,000, you're basically making, what's that, $600 a day?
We will. Well, he's got to get there Monday.
That's a lot. No, I'm not getting there Monday. I'm out.
Well, that's when you're spritzing golf balls. It's Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
If it's 2,000, we'll crowdsource it. We'll get you out there, bro. I got to see this happen. We'll get it.
We'll get a live stream with Kyle and his little water bottle.
Kyle and Bryson live from the range, spritzing balls.
Golf balls, Kyle.
All right. Let's move along here. So I actually like this question, Greg.
Wait, who are you? Who do you want to caddy for?
Who did I say? Whoever you Ricky's good. Said, yeah, someone. I don't care who it is. They just got to be have a light bag. They got to have a light bag and be easy.
And who don't you want to caddy for?
I don't want to caddy for Bubba. And I, cause it would say, cause I, there'd be hashtags that are pray for Rick Gaiman instead of, pray
oh, you
for
mentioned
Ricky's kind of low stress. Cause you don't really have a ton of 54 hole leads. You're not really in it a ton. Of-
Like, it's unbelievable. Okay. We're going to get to one of your guys here right now. So I like this question a lot, Greg, but unfortunately I think there's, and I don't even think Kyle can dispute this, there's really only one order to answer this in. So the question also from Russell is, the three guys that are one major away from their career Grand Slam are Phil, Rory, and Jordan Spieth. Rate their level of likelihood from 1 to 3. Unfortunately, Greg, like I love this concept. It's Rory, Jordan, Phil, right? Like there's only one way.
Yes. Yes. It's Rory, Jordan, Phil. You know, it's interesting. I would almost throw some guys that have less than three majors in ahead of Jordan and Phil. Like Brooks Koepka to me is more likely to get the career Grand Slam than Jordan. Although the one thing I'll say about Jordan is he came in third in the PGA last year at Bethpage Black, which you can't go unnoticed. So I think Jordan has a really, really good likelihood, but the Augusta National and the Masters for Rory McIlroy fits him so well. It's hard to imagine him not breaking through sometime soon. And it's probably in one of these next two.
Rory's going to be like 55, and we're going to be like, I think this is the year, guys. I think he's going to win the Masters this year.
You're full of hot takes today, aren't you, Kyle?
Yeah, he's spicy right now. Kyle, how many more Masters does Rory have, like, that he could legitimately win? Like, 12?
Well, so the all-time record for most played in before winning is Sergio at 19.
Okay.
So he won on his 19th try. Nobody's ever done it on 18, 17, 16. There was a couple guys that did it. Adam Scott might have been 14 or 15, something like that. Rory's at like 12 or 13, I think. He might not be that high. It might be 11 or 12. So you start to get into this range of like where it has literally never happened or only happened one time before.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's 12. I think it's like, what is he? He'll be 31 this year, 32?
31.
I think it's like seven more, six more, something like that. So like real, like legit, this right. is it type chances.
Well, even if it's seven or eight or six or five or four. No. Okay. So, and he's like 5% to win each one, which he's going to be more than that. Like he becomes a coin flip to do this eventually, right? Like just because of how many more chances he's going to get at. It's like 50-50 proposition.
I would look if I might, I hear Kyle's point, but I think he's got injury. Look, injury is always a thing for me. And my wish for these players is you go injury free. But look, Tiger just won at 42 and he's dealt with a ton more injuries than Rory did. And he's a generational sort and McIlroy is too. And so I'm giving McIlroy at least another 12, you know, because he's going to play into his mid 40s and be competitive into his mid 40s. He's a young 30 to me. You know, he's chronologically, he's 30 years old, but he's young and he's young at heart. And so I think there's many more Masters in front.
Let's go back to Greg on this one, because this is, I think, something we talked about. Maybe it was a couple weeks. I don't know. Time is a flat circle these days. But John Murray on Twitter asks, what makes the top 10 players in the world better than the guys on the Korn Ferry Tour? And what makes the guys on the Korn Ferry Tour better than regular kind of scratch players? And which margin is bigger?
It's a great question. First of all, the margin between a Korn Ferry Tour player and a scratch player is significantly bigger than a Korn Ferry Tour player and a top 10 official world golf ranking player. I believe, when I've seen this with my own eyes in a regular round, not necessarily a tournament round, a guy on the Korn Ferry Tour can be more impressive than a player on the PGA Tour. I'll give you an example. I played when I worked at Medalist Golf Club. I played as a marker in the member 1 year, and one round I played with a member and Bud Cauley, and we went out and played, and Bud was phenomenal. He played honestly some of the most boring golf I've ever seen, and it ends up being 68, and I'm playing with him. I feel like I could play with Bud Cauley at this point when I'm during the round. And then we get done and the wind's blowing 20 miles an hour, a hard golf course. He shoots 68. I shoot 77 and he beats me by like 9 shots. And I start thinking, stretch that over 4 rounds, stretch that over a season. And I felt like I played pretty good. It's such a different league. And then the very next day I played with a guy by the name of Brad Tilley, who's a very good player in the amateur region. And basically Brad tried to play professionally for like 8 years. And then eventually he stopped and he got a job working somewhere else. And he hadn't played in like 5 weeks. And we went out on the golf course, and on the back 9, he lipped out for birdie on 10, made birdie on 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. And on 18, he had 12 feet for birdie and missed. He shot 29 on the back 9. And it was another one of those where you wake up and it's 29. You almost don't realize it because there's a par 5 and then a drivable par 4. And he just kind of keeps chipping away. Again, wind's blowing 20 miles an hour, blah, blah, blah. And his partner is another guy who was trying to play for years on the PGA Tour, couldn't make it. And he's hitting the ball ridiculous distances. I mean, this guy is the most impressive player I've ever played with. He's 233 yards out with a slightly into left to right wind. And he's saying to Brad, I think I got to hit the 4 because the 5's just not going to get there. And I'm thinking to myself, are you kidding me? And so these guys are just so good. What's the difference? To me, I do think there's a little difference in short game and putting, but the ultimate difference is what Mark said earlier. And it's about timely. When can you play well? They all have their good golf is all, I believe, very comparable. Extremely good, extremely high end. But when do you play your best golf? And also, when you don't play your best golf, what does that look like? And that's the biggest separator. How good's your bad shot? How good's your bad round? A guy like Rory McIlroy, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, their bad rounds, and Phil a little bit more earlier in his career, but their bad rounds are really good scores. And to me, that's the biggest difference.
You know what? Your point is so well taken. And Webb Simpson, you talked about caddying for him. Webb mentioned to me, and he said so at the Players' Championship, the question was pitched to him, so what is the difference now between you being sort of one of those guys on the PGA Tour, now one of the top 10 golfers in the world, a guy's contending in big tournaments? And he's like, my bad day is just better. He goes, I'm turning the 74 into 71. I'm turning the 77 into 72. And that keeps me in events, because 72 holes is a long time. And to add to what your points are, they're so well taken. I think the difference between the golfer aspiring to be on the tour and then the Korn Ferry Tour aspiring to be at the next level is just playing well over a long period of time as well. You know, everyone, and that's the first question I get. Some kid goes out at his home course and shoots like 65 and everyone around him has got stars in the eyes. You know, this is the next superstar. And I'm like, yeah, go and do that 4 times in a row on a place you haven't seen under some pressure, and then we'll talk a little bit. So it's the ability, to your point, to make bad days decent and just do it for, you know, long stretches of time.
What if that person goes out and shoots 61 on their home course and their home course is Royal Portrush? Does that change your opinion?
Well, no, that's pretty solid. But again, I hate to point this out, but there are a number of guys that will shoot low score and then miss a cut. I've seen this time and time again, on the tour. You've got to play well enough for 2 rounds to get yourself in the weekend, and then you've got to accelerate. That's basically how golf goes. Oftentimes, you look at leaderboards, the guys who jump out to the early leads, they're the guys who sort of disappear on the weekend. The weekend, you'll see the usual suspects who've been cruising along for most of the tournament, can't lay, the sort of crowd, and then they start showing up when Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon starts rolling around. So yeah, 61 around there is fantastic.
But that was a Rory reference.
Yeah, no, I was humoring you for a while, but I was telling you.
I think Greg's point is really good, and I think it speaks to why it's so impressive. I mean, Tiger's. We talked about this on Tuesday with J-Ray, Mark, of Tiger being 60 or number one in the world for 683 weeks. That's a joke. Like that is a joke to be that good, to be that much better than all these guys when the margin, to Greg's point, shouldn't be that much. It's not that much, but sometimes it is when you've got a guy like Tiger when you have a guy like Rory, when you have a guy like John Rahm. And I think that's what I think people don't understand, like don't completely understand how good those guys are.
I want to say between the Corn Ferry Tour and the top 10, it's not just a hop, skip and a jump. I mean, there's a pretty big chasm between those two levels of play. But to what Greg said about the amateur, the good amateur golf in the Corn Ferry Tour, that's a pretty big leap over there. But I got to tell you, the 100th player in the world versus a top 10 guy, they might not be a better hitter or they might not jump out and grab you. But those top 10 guys, they just do everything well and they really don't have much of a weakness.
Real quick, I want everybody to guess who the 100th ranked player in the world is now. I love playing this game. I have no idea. I'm going to say Scott Stallings.
You always say Scott Stallings.
I do, don't I?
Oh, this 100th is so
player
good.
In the world.
Lucas right, Beauregard.
So, oh, that's not bad either. I'm trying to think like of benchmarks. So if Morikawa is 44, Scheffler's probably like 60 something. I'm going to go with, he's probably too good. Keegan's way too good for that. Greg, do you have one?
JT Poston. I think he's inside of that.
I'm going to go with, this is so hard. Danny Lee.
Mark?
Beauregard, but I think I think he's lower than that.
It's Ooh. Scott Piercy.
How were our guesses?
So Stallings is three.
Poston 76.
Yeah, Stallings is 316. Nice guess, Kyle. Beauregard. Who did you say?
Beauregard and Danny Lee.
Danny Lee. Lee Westwood's 31. Danny Lee's 88. That was pretty good.
Closest without going over?
Yeah.
Price is Right rules?
Yeah. Lucas Beauregard is 119. So you guys, I wasn't even close. I need to get Scott Stallings out of my head.
You need a new default answer. Yeah, your new default answer needs to be Scott Piercy, your 100th player in the world. All right, gentlemen. Well, that's going to do it for our pre-set questions, but I'll do this one time. I'm going to open the floor up. Anybody have anything else, any hot takes they want to fire off before we get out of here? Greg seems like he has something. He's giving.
Have you guys already heard my hottest take?
No.
Please go ahead.
Chick-fil-A is overrated.
Yeah, wow.
Wait a second for the other two guys not named Kyle. Did you hear this guy say that Jordan Spieth was better than Bobby Jones on our podcast the other day?
Yes.
I'm still cringing.
I actually hate to say that. You're barking up the wrong tree for support from me on this one.
Look, go win the John Deere, Bobby. I don't know what to tell you.
It's mostly just the technology and like a time difference.
It's such a different game. Jordan Spieth could Jordan Spieth go play with the Mashy Niblick and get around the golf course like Bobby Jones? I highly doubt it.
So we had this
Bobby
great
in this era. I don't know either.
You guys need to get back to Twitch or whatever you do, please.
Hold on.
Probably true.
We had a great question. This was last year at the US Open at Pebble. It was Sean Zock of golf.com. And he said, how far back, like, or how far forward, if you started when golf majors started and you took modern day technology, like you took like the clubs that you have and the ball that you have and the strength that you have, how many majors would you win as yourself? Going for like for how long would you just win every major because of the equipment that you had until you started losing majors?
So I can go back in time and pick a date to start?
Yeah. So if you go back to 1860 or whatever the first Open Championship was when one of the Toms won and you took your, you know, Callaway driver and your Titleist irons and you got to play the Open, the 12-hole Open, you would win, right?
I think you guys would. Yeah.
Not so sure. I mean, these guys weren't playing on the pure greens you guys are used to as well. I mean, conditions are wildly different. And by
conditions
the way,
very
tough. Hey, I meant to mention, I looked it up. Rory's played 9 Masters. So to your calculations, he's got a few more.
That's it?
That's it.
Really?
2010 was his first one.
Well, that would be... Okay.
So his second in Rory's second Masters, he had that lead.
Hold on.
He was pretty young. He had that hair. That was pretty. He was pretty young.
He was wearing Oakley gear. I remember that.
that's how we can date him. Right? Yeah. Well, I'm glad I opened the floor.
Can't be far off.
Anyway, to the question, going back from the Sean Zucks question, that's a great question, but times change. You know, you got to get yourself to the majors. Bob Jones had to catch a steamboat to get over to play in the Open and the British Amateur. It's not all the same. I'll leave you with that, the old guy.
And we'll leave it at that. So yeah. coming up, we're going to have some sweet, sweet Scottsdale Open action, mini tour, golf, Joel Damon, maybe Pat Perez, who knows? I'll see when this field gets finalized. Also, we're keeping tabs on Tiger versus Phil. And also Peyton and Tom Brady. We're waiting for Kyle Porter to break news on CBSSports.com so we know it's all official. And don't forget, it's 2020. Listen to the First Cut Golf Podcast on your smart speaker. Anytime you want, you can hear these sweet, sweet vocals coming across your smart speaker. But for this episode, I want to thank Mark Immelman. It's at @Mark_Immelman. Kyle Porter at Kyle Porter CBS. Greg Ducharme at The Real GFD. Producer Jacob behind this camera. I'm at Rick Rungood. Catch you next time.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.